Don't miss a second of thrilling live racing from Aqueduct this fall on America's Day at the Races on Fox Sports. Watch Maggie Wolfendale, Andy Serling, and the entire All-Star cast bring you the best of fall racing live from Aqueduct. For full TV listings, visit NYRA.com.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's dancing behind movie scenes, behind the movie scenes. Sadie Rani, she's the one that keeps the dream alive. From the morning past the evening to the end of the life. Grim Poole Asher on the 45. Well, it's Grim Poole Asher on the 45. Grim Poole Asher on the 45. Well, it's a Grim Poole Asher on the 45.
We're back at the races. About 10 minutes to the top of the hour. James Scully joining us, Twin Spires, Brisnet, and good morning, James.
Good morning, Steve. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, you got married. This is a three-year anniversary for Gigi and I. Our anniversary is November 20th. So
I forgot that. I forgot that you guys got married on the 20th. That's great. Happy anniversary.
I think today is actually the 73rd anniversary for Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip, too.
Really? This is, I hope people are taking notes because we've got me and Joe Biden and Bo Derek, Sean Young. In fact, Sean Young and I she's born the same day as I was. And now we've got, nice anniversaries. Did you guys pick the 20th because of the Queen
and Philip? No, we were unaware. we're not that much up on English history.
you're not Anglophiles. All right. Well, happy and many more, and that's very cool. I will now that is now filed away in the memory banks. no problem. Well, James, get a few opinions, and obviously, you know, the loss of the turf. Turf ends at different times in the eastern half of the country. You know, once we get to this juncture, and Laurel and Aqueduct will go as long as they can. It does kind of affect the way the cards spill out, you know? I mean, in terms of, you know, suddenly not having grass races, you know, interspersed in the sequences.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, we're seeing some horses that look like they're intended for grass races that, you know, the trainers could just wait or go to another venue or wait for, you know, the next circuit to open up. But they're running them on the main track. And I think there were two horses yesterday. One of them was Hembry that had made at least our last, like, four or five starts. He had made his last. He had raced on the turf exclusively since 2018, Hembry. And I'll just say this. I mean, it gets to the point sometimes where unless they've, like, run poorly on the main track previously, where I'm not just too worried about the going turf to dirt at Churchill Downs. I just think that's like the kindest dirt track in America, Steve, for turf horses. You know, that was one of John Asher's favorite things, you know, look for a little bit of green and in the pedigree at Churchill Downs because it's favorable to turf horses. And I've just really seen it, over the last couple of weeks, over the last week since they canceled the rest of the turf racing for the meet.
Well, that part
But it is unfortunate. I mean, it was such a shocker, you know. They had already drawn, I think, through Wednesday of this week for the turf. So that was the last day where they were off the turf and not, all the races are drawn for the main track. Really unfortunate.
Well, we'll deal with it. We'll deal with it.
Yeah, it's all right. Some good races. That Chalukyi, I thought, did come up a pretty interesting race tomorrow. You know, I think there's lots of ways to go in there. One thing about just the meet is it's just like, I mean, Ricardo Santana Jr. and Florent Giroux have ridden really well so far this meet. James Graham as well. Corey Lannery had a couple winners yesterday. He got off to a little bit of a slow start. But Tyler Gaffleon, I mean, he's just in career best form. I'm always attuned a little bit, you know, to who he's riding. And in that feature tomorrow, that Chalukyi, I like that Grand Cru Class A for Bill Mott. I thought her last effort in that Raven Run was really an improvement. You know, her first two wins, she really just won impressively by open lengths. But, you know, just really had everything her own way. I don't think, you know, she was running against, wasn't tested in those races, wasn't running against the best company, and didn't run that fast either in terms of speed ratings. And then her third start, she wins that Weber City Miss, and it wasn't necessarily flattering because she was just tired. I mean, it was a mile and a 16th, two-turn race. She ran out of gas late, held on to win by a neck. I just thought that Raven Run was phenomenal. They really went a solid 23-second second quarter mile in there, and she was just, you know, really chasing hard, you know, through the turn, Venetian Harbor. And I thought really held on well, you know, trud hard all the way to the wire, gets beat less than a length. I think that's a race that she's going to continue to move forward upon, this Bernardini Filly for Bill Mott, Grand Cru Class A.
Nice. I was kind of looking at it more or less for the first time with listening to Marty, and 5-2. And really, how much other speed is there?
Yeah,
very little.
Yeah, so she's gonna be forward from post three, and race could really set up well for her. I in fact looked for Bill Mott the sweep. That Daily Double tomorrow, Steve, he's got this smirk in the last race, number 11. Florent Giroux on this colt, but really taking a huge drop in class off of, you know, he won by seven lengths, two starts back. He won two races in a row, you know, didn't beat much in any one of those races, but last time just ran into a really good field, drops down and catches a real weak group. And his last two 82 Bristnet speed ratings in his last two starts just stamp him the one to beat. So I look for Bill Mott to do well tomorrow on Saturday's card.
What else we got around this card?
I thought that... you know, just looking at race eight, you know, which kicks off that late pick three tomorrow at Churchill Downs. It's a main special weight at 6.5 furlongs. It's a situation where, you know, bettors will be spreading in multi-race tickets. But to me, the two favorites are potentially vulnerable. Number five, Wall Combo, the 3-1 for Steve Asmus in this race. Really, I thought that was a weak race last time. The runner-up, the winner of that race, Malloy, got a 78 speed rating from us. The runner-up, Grace's Secret, came back last Saturday in a maiden special weight. She took no betting action whatsoever. It was like 7-1, ran ninth in a 12-horse field. I think that filly has not run that fastball combo. It's vulnerable. I look at Mary and Francis. I think I brought this up before. These horses of Brad Cox that have been training at Ellis Park and even other trainers haven't seen them run as well when they ship in. It looks like Ellis may have even closer training earlier this month, and instead of shipping her to Churchill, this Constitution filly, shipped her to Indiana Grand to work. So I understand they have to train somewhere, but I just don't think this is one of Brad Cox's better two-year-old fillies. The horse I like in here is number 10, Flory. And it's been a situation with Eddie Keneally where there was a period, Steve, in from early mid-September to mid-October, a period of 35 days where Eddie Keneally was just ice cold. He was 1-for-29. He had 10 seconds and thirds combined. A lot of short-priced horses of his got beat, but just like, you know, all these big, you know, a lot of barns, I mean, they just have ups and downs they go through. You know, they run hot or cold at times. And he's the Keneally barn's the hottest barn presently on the backside of Churchill Downs. He's won 6 of his last 11 starts. He has gone in a short period of time from winning at a 3% clip to winning at a 55% clip. And his horses are just firing. And I think this number 10, Forey, in race 8 last time really, you know, ran a solid race when you consider the start. I mean, this distorted humor filly just wasn't ready for the break, broke in a tangle, and wound up, you know, being a solid third that day. She's got a couple of good works since then. She's going to move forward off that effort, and I think Foolery is clearly the horse to beat. She's 4-1 on the morning line. She's not going to be favored.
Nice. I've noticed too, I mean, sometimes, you know, when you're just, you know, if you're not necessarily playing a circuit, but you know, you're certainly, you know, looking at results, and I saw where, you know, you could sense that Keneally's barn, you know, some barn cycle, and you could sense that Keneally was getting hot. So second timer Foolery, and this is not a group. I mean, I went through this from a pedigree standpoint. There's On Fire Babies, Medaglia d'Oro filly making the third start, but there isn't any glaring, you know, pedigree plays per se in here that, you know, supersede anything. And to be honest, that debut was very solid and professional, and it feels like a good experience for Foolery, you know, back at that that Keeneland October 23rd start.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, and you know, Keneally has a horse in today as well that I like. So, yeah, that's a filly that, like you said, I mean, I looked through all the firsters as well in that race, and a lot of them either look like they're going to, you know, are going to need racing experience, either that or, you know, combined with slow works.
That's the eighth. And what are you doing in the seventh, James? Because that is the other race with the feature, with the Chalukyi. That's the other race in the cross country.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kipple's the morning line favorite in there for Bob Hess Jr., but there's some pace in that race, it looks like, you know, especially two are outside, and then even, you know, inside. There's some solid speed in there. I take a look a little bit at the Bill Morey horse. You know, it's cold in the hair. You know, that's a horse that filly that's coming back. She's coming back to Churchill, and she's just run well over the track. 2 wins and 2/3 from 4 starts. This is clearly her best distance. I mean, 6 furlongs, 4 wins and 5 seconds from 12 attempts. So, you know, she is, like, you know, stepping up perhaps to face a tougher group. And, you know, her speed ratings are going to need to continue to increase. But she's got some upside and you know, could get the right setup.
There you go. Well, we'll talk later to Nick and get his thoughts too, and kind of weave this all together. Nice sequence at Churchill. Pick 5 starts with another maiden race, this for Elders, and includes Moliere went is set up as the 3-1 favorite. Asser for Maker. Mystic Knight on the outside, a second time starter for Chad.
I really got that race. I took took a little bit of a look at it, and that's just a really competitive race. I mean, I'm just not too, you know, keen on swallowing a short price on a couple of these horses in there. I mean, I'm going to spread in the multi races, but I look at that Pledge of Allegiance, you know, going back to a one-turn distance for Paul McGee, and is eligible to get lost a little bit in the betting in there. And I really thought that was a solid effort, two starts back, where he ran third. So, you know, that's the horse I'd definitely, you know, I'd give a slight edge to when I looked at the race, but that's a race I'll use multiple horses in.
Well, Moliere's got that strong debut at Ellis, and then kind of went backwards a little bit when he came to Churchill. That was in the Guided Missile maiden breaker.
And I won't be surprised to see him bounce back, definitely. I mean, he's clearly got a big chance to win.
You know, this is a curious bunch, isn't it? How about just looking at my? He's going to have to step. He's going to have to step forward. That Paturia, but he does put the blinkers on. I'll tell you, there's not, and he, you know, goes from a two turn. You know, kind of, it's a cutback of sorts. Donny von Hemel doesn't have any numbers really with blinkers. 0-for-12 the last 18 months. But I think whoever Chad's putting the blinkers on Mystic Knight too. I suppose Moliere, you know, Moliere is probably going to get the lead here and may not look back. That's the issue. There's not any, you know, real speed in here. McPeak's got that Spitestown again down inside. Got a little bit of speed and, you know, went to the lead.
Dawdling pace last time for that
right
down and again.
He was second for a good part of that race at Gulfstream back in August, and that went in 46-1. So the horse has got a little bit of speed, and probably has to be ridden away from there from being down inside, you know, with the coming down the chute. So, but Moliere is going to be. And Santana is going to be controlling this up front. I just wanted to see what you were thinking because it does start the pick five. A couple of thoughts quickly, James, before we wrap up. Last-minute Friday push?
Yes, I've got a last-minute Friday push. It's in race the finale today, race number 9, number 8, 12 Monarchs. I really like that last effort. He ran fifth last time out. 12 comes right back here, catches a weak group in the finale. I think 12 Monarchs live at 12-1 on the morning line in race 9 today at Churchill.
Very good. What about a little football play for Sunday?
I'll tell you, I'm going to grab the points with the Raiders at home against the Chiefs on Monday night. I know the Chiefs, they were up 3 touchdowns at home, or up maybe it was 21-10 at home, up 11 points at home. And sort of overlooked the Raiders the first time. They'll be focused and fired up. But the Raiders are one of the most improved teams in the league. They have held 2 of their last 3 opponents to 12 points or less. They can grind it out. They put up 40-plus when they beat the Chiefs earlier. I think Dennis Carr has elevated his game. It's totally elevated their team. I really like how they're playing. And they may not beat the Chiefs, but they're going to be up for Monday night, and they're going to give them a good contest, and they're grabbing a touchdown at home. I like Las Vegas versus the points against Kansas City on Monday night.
All right. James, appreciate it, and we'll look forward to next weekend with the big, got plenty to look forward to.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be. I look forward to that car candy cap. I don't know what's happened to Honor Code this year. But I'm excited to bet against them at low odds, short odds next Friday. I might be wrong, but I was a big fan of his. He was my Horse of the Year favorite coming into the year, so you can imagine I've lost some money along the way. Perhaps I'm bitter, but have a happy birthday and a great weekend, Steve. All the best to you.
James, happy anniversary, happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk next week, next Friday, for the big, obviously, always a Thanksgiving, a big, big deal between opening at Fairgrounds and Clark weekend at Churchill. Appreciate, so you got a bunch of action from James. 12 Monarchs in that ninth race today, a 10 claimer to close out. I really didn't look at at the Friday action myself, just because I was so without the computer situation yesterday and even Wednesday, put me in a little bit of a behind. So I can't help you for today. All right, we'll see what see maybe if let's see if Nick later has got some thoughts. Jay Pridman is going to join us and get a little bit of Del Mar in. And I did see this week where Jay was able to catch up on some of the two-year-olds, some of his early Derby Trail kinds of analysis that we so look forward to. And Jay does such a great job, you know, with the road to the Derby stakes analysis. He churned out the Iroquois and the American Pharaoh and the Breeders' Futurity and the Champagne, among others. And we haven't really had a chance. We kind of lost track during the week when it came to the Del Mar action last week. Red Flags win for Sheriffs and Astute. The Desi Arnaz winner really seems like the one that has got upside, going forward. Yeah, so I'm anxious to see what Jay's thoughts are, and this weekend. Let me pull out the Del Mar. There it is. 8 race card today, and the Native Diver, the feature early on the card tomorrow. Nice group, looks like a maiden filly group, okay. And then on Sunday, the Cary Grant State Breds. Jay Pridman, good morning.
Good morning. Happy birthday.
Thanks so much. I'm like the lead car on the birthday wagon with
yeah,
Marty tomorrow.
Mr. Marty tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Marty tomorrow, and you you in end of December. It's I always remember when we all kind of discovered this that you and Marty were born 17 days apart essentially.
Yep, and we were gonna do like a celebration of that soon, early this year, and then plans went awry for us and for everybody.
That's right. We were going to have our 60th. That's right. We were going to have the collective 60th party, and or at least a dinner or something. And that's
when
right.
We were all in Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And
alas.
Yeah, 2020 blew the turn.
Yes, for sure.
Well, it does with the situation at Golden Gate, Jay, and we're hoping to talk to Ron Gierkink. Ron yesterday reported Woodbine with a jock contracting COVID, and they're on pins and needles up there, and they're unsure about where things stand. So I'm anxious to hear from him. And then, of course, where else? We lost Zia Park is pulled up for 10 days. After a extended period of of things running pretty smoothly, all in all, it seems like kind of wavering a little bit with this current spike in infections.
Yeah, I mean it's certainly worrying, and hopefully proper protocols are in place to continue to be able to operate safely. I know a lot of tracks have been very forthright proactive, I should say, regarding jockeys moving in and out of their rooms and things of that nature, and those are things that I think have served those jurisdictions well, as it's turned out. So hopefully they can continue to keep going, but it's certainly worrying, and it's almost like the scientists who said this summer that things were going to get bad this fall were right. It's remarkable.
Crazy, wacky science.
It's just crazy how that science stuff works.
Yep. Jay, before we talk about the weekend and also obviously you've been watching a lot of replays and catching up on the two-year-old action, but I really did not get much of a chance. The week sort of got away from us, and I really haven't talked about Astute's win in the Desi Arnaz and Red Flag's win in the Bob Hope last weekend.
Yeah, no, they were both nice victories. And Astute's a filly who's really been held in high regard by Mandela, and she was supposed to debut during the summer meet at Del Mar, and she got sick, and he had to back off on her. And then when she was ready to run, the only race that was available at Santa Anita for maidens that week was a grass race, so that's why she ran there. It wasn't like they thought she was a grass horse. It was just she was ready, and that was the opportunity, and they didn't want to risk waiting, you know, for a dirt race, and if it doesn't fill, then you're just really behind. So they got that race in, and she won. And then came back and made her second start on the dirt last week and won quite impressively. And, you know, now we'll see if they wheel her back in 3 weeks for the Starlet. It's kind of a goofy schedule here where the Starlet is, you know, 21 days after its essential prep, you know, it's essentially its prep at Del Mar, but the Del Mar Futurity is 34 days after the you know, the equivalent race at Del Mar, the Bob Hope. So it's kind of a quick turn back for her. And he said he wanted to just wait and see how she came out of the race. You know, it's still only been now 6 days. I think by the middle of next week when we'll know which direction they're headed. He was still noncommittal the other day about, you know, where to go. He just wants to see. I mean, he wants to run her there.
Sure.
But it's, you know, doesn't want to run her there if she's not ready for it.
You know, you made the point, Jay, and it hadn't even occurred to me until you wrote it as a little sidebar or as part of the coverage, that Los Al split up the two features this year instead of running them on the same card, and that there was that 2 week spread between the Starlet and then the Futurity 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I don't know why they decided to do that, and I certainly don't know why they decided to have a gap like that. I wish the Starlet was a week later. I think it would have been beneficial for everybody. But you know, unfortunately, you know, unlike in Naira, even though you go from Aqueduct to Belmont to Saratoga, you have the same racing office, putting those stake schedules together. Out here, you have three different racing offices putting together stake schedules. And, you know, sometimes things fall through the cracks like that. And it's an unfortunate situation here because it really should not happen.
Yeah, and in fact, I'm not sure if Rick is going to join us this morning, he may be a late scratch, but that actually a topic that, you know, that he is so good addressing. I mean, in terms of racing office, you know, coordination and I mean, that came as a surprise. I mean, one of the things, obviously not coming out this year, but one of my, you know, really favorite things about the combo trip, which was the Symposium and Los Al, was, you know, those two races. And then, of course, Jay, we had that great night where we got to go to, we had dinner, but then with John and Tracy, but we also got to go to the Champion of Champions, which was so cool.
Yeah, that's just always a great race. I mean, if you're not really a quarter horse fan, and it's an amazing race to watch. This year, as it turns out, Steve, the Champion of Champions is on the 12th. It's the night of the 12th, so the weekend in between the two big stakes for the daytime stakes for the thoroughbreds. So that's how they've split it up this year.
They really spread it out, and there's also the big. We'll get Steve Anderson in around that time. There's also the 2 year old feature too that is a big money that dots those cards.
$2 million.
Yeah, there you go. The Futurity. So, What else from last week? What else did we need to know about?
Well, you mentioned Sheriff's Horse, who won the Bob Hope. He's been more of a work in progress. That race really just, I thought, came up kind of soft. Spielberg was favored. He was being wheeled back in 2 weeks off of, taking to his fourth start to break his maiden. And, he got really bet to, I off the board. It was kind of they gravitated towards him. That's just not, that kind of management is not the hallmark of the way that barn treats a top class runner. So that was an interesting way that people approach that. And, he laid an egg. And, Sheriff's Horse won quite nicely, but he told Brad Free Brad did a note follow-up on him the other day. He said he's not going to run him back in the future. He just wants to take his time with him and point for something early at the Santa Anita meeting, something maybe like the Sham Stakes, which is usually run in early January. Not sure when it'll be run this year. But I would assume it'll be around then, but, it's November 20th, and Santa Anita's supposed to open on the December 26th, and there's no stake schedule out yet.
Interesting. Hadn't noticed that. Any of the rest of that weekend action, any maidens of note?
No, but I got one for you this weekend when you want to talk about this weekend.
Nice. All right. Now let's shift gears then. And because I printed out the maiden specials and the stakes. Del Mar, the native diver, which only drew five, but placed early in the card tomorrow. Let's clear the deck with that. And Midcourt, 4-5, and Combatant, Stellar Sound for Michael McCarthy, Royal Ship for Mandela, and Mandela also with Samantha Siegel's Extra Hope.
Right, so five are entered. Fewer are expected to run. Midcourt, is an iffy proposition here. And he is, as you pointed out, the favorite on John White's line at 4-5. So obviously if he comes out, not only does the field shrink, but the prices are going to be significantly adjusted as a result. But he's obviously been keeping good company. He was third in the Awesome Again and the Pacific Classic behind Improbable and then Maximum Security respectively. So, he's due for a little class relief, but Sheriff's was not all in at the time, so we'll see if what he does. And Stellar Sound, there's really not a race at the meet on dirt for older fillies and bears, so McCarthy put her in there just to do a look-see, and we'll see what he ends up deciding to do there. It's not a bad idea, because Combatant's form is nothing to brag about lately. Royal Ship's getting back on the dirt, and I think he'll be fine on that. And then you've got Extra Hope, who comes off a real nice win. I thought a game win last time, but an allowance company. He was second in the native diver last year before going to the sidelines to Midcourt, to the defending race winner. But it's not a very deep field, and there's questions as to who all is going to participate. So we'll have to see how it all shakes out. Royal Ship to me is interesting, getting back on the dirt, South American. He's needed time to acclimate here. He's had a couple of runs against really good horses, two grass races against Mo Forza. That's a couple of tough spots to be in. So I'm interested to see how he does. Because if he takes to the dirt, with all like we talked about on the show last week, with all the defections there have been from the older horse ranks out here, with horses going to stud, like Improbable, Maximum Security, and Authentic. I mean, it's wide open for somebody to step up here.
Yeah, fair point. And the best part of that is, much like we went into this year and certain divisions, took shape, there'll be horses, Jay. I was looking through, I was doing paperwork and clearing out I save way too much stuff. But one thing I always like to do is save the Derby Trail charts and the preps, and you end up seeing names that you just forgot about, and then you go look, horses that showed up in the grade threes and the grade twos, and they either got hurt or they needed to regroup, and those horses start to pop up right about now, and they're gonna show up in the Oaklawn Handicap Series and places like that and the Mineshaft and Fairground. There's gonna be horses people completely forgot about that are gonna bubble to the surface.
Right. I mean, we already saw like Silver Prospector come back off of a layoff and win for Asmussen at Churchill, and Maxfield's back in training again. And out here you've got Charlatan, who's pointing for the Malibu. So you've got those kinds of horses, but there's certainly opportunity because there's some big holes in that division with some pretty significant retirements in the last couple of weeks.
Let's get into some of the baby action, and I'm excited to hear who you think is going to draw attention to themselves this weekend.
Well, then let's turn our attention to Sunday's card. Cary Grant is the feature that day, but in chronological order, I would call your attention to race number two. And you might remember that last year at the November meeting at Santa Anita at Del Mar, Bob Baffert sent out a Son of Into Mischief who won first time out and went on to be a pretty good horse at three. His name was Authentic. And I'm expecting, I don't know that he'll be that good, but I can tell you that Life is Good, another Son of Into Mischief who makes his debut for Baffert on Sunday, has trained extremely well for his first start. And Mike Smith aboard, it's a China Horse Club Windstar production, yearling purchase that Gary and Mary West bred. But this horse is trained extremely well, and I'm eager to see how he does first time out.
He's out of a distorted humor mare, Beach Walk, and was a $525,000 Keeneland yearling. Has had a nice, steady, that is a really kind of a nice, steady work tab. Started out at Los Al, then came over to the AAA barn and has been working right along. Life is Good, and this is a horse that's got ready-made T-shirts, right? You got that whole line of T-shirts.
Exactly. Yep.
Pretty funny. Life is Good.
Available at every airport kiosk you could walk through.
Exactly. I'm looking down at the stats, Jay. I guess people didn't need to worry about Mike Smith, who didn't come to Keeneland to ride. He's only gone 7-for-21 so far at Del Mar.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing he did was just not try and put a square peg into a round hole. He had one potential Breeders' Cup mount. He just decided that it just wasn't really worth it. His best horses that he'd had for the last few years, McKenzie and Midnight Bizou, both, got hurt and weren't, didn't run in the Breeders' Cup this year. When you lose, those are significant kinds of horses to lose that you've, and you're not accepting other mounts in that division when you've hitched your wagon, understandably, to horses like that. So the cupboard was a little bit bare, and I think it was smart for him to stay home and just start building up his business again, and he's done that, and he's had some nice winners. He's doing very well, as you pointed out. By staying home, he can start getting on horses like this. So I think he's, life is still good for Mike Smith.
Exactly. You mentioned the Cary Grant on Sunday, and this actually drew a nice field, the Calbred program, right?
Yes. It's a very, very, an above average edition of this race. Some really good horses in here, headed obviously by Galilean, who's a horse who can go in between graded company and Calbred company and act well, but he's won three of his last four starts, and the only loss was against Mo Force. I think it's interesting that he's never run on the Del Mar Dirt before, But you know, he can sprint. He can run a middle distance. He's pretty. He can run on dirt and turf. He just hasn't run on this specific dirt course yet. There's quite a bit of speed in here, and you know, I think that could play into the, you know, into it'll help him, because I don't think he's going to be blasting out of there and be part of the pace. I think he likes to stalk and finish. But you know, I think a horse like El Tigre Terrible, who likes the Del Mar dirt and, you know, won really impressively here during the summer meet, going 7/8, looks strong in here. It's just, you know, the question is his one race against older horses. He just wasn't good enough, but I think he's capable of better than that. But the other horse in here who I think's got a big chance is Take the 101, who's, you know, from the same connections as Extra Hope, or, you know, Samantha Siegel's barn. And, you know, this is a horse who's cutting back in distance after running in the Awesome again. And that was a tough spot to be in. It was a hot-paced race that, you remember, Improbable sat back, and well, four horses were kind of mixing it up and won. And this is obviously a much more sensible spot for him. And I like horses that cut back from a two-turn dirt to a 7/8 race at Del Mar. And this is a horse who's undefeated on the Del Mar dirt, so including a win on the Del Mar dirt during the summer meet. So I think I think he's very alive in here.
Boy, he is going to get company though, Jay. Right? If he's going to try to win this on or near the lead.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I'm hoping that they don't try and go head and head for the lead with him, because there is quite a bit of pace in here. And yeah, if he's part of that pace, that's not going to be to his benefit. But he's got kind of like route speed, and there's some sprint speed in here, and I'm hoping that he can just sort of maybe tuck into a good stalking trip, as opposed to try and be try and mix it up from the start. Because if he does, that's not going to work, I don't think, like you're pointing out. I mean, there's a lot of speed in here.
You know, you mentioned Galilean, and I hadn't noticed this, you know, between Breeders' Cup activities and you know, the fact that, you know, Del Mar's running the weekends. John Sadler enters the weekend 0-23.
Yeah, he's had a terrible meet. Just done very, very, very poorly, very uncharacteristic for him.
He's got nine board hits. Does have you know, some placements. You know, so it's not he's not getting completely shut out, but that kind of jumped off the page of me just looking there at Galilean. Let me ask you, Jay, too, about Saturday, the Philly 2-year-olds. Anything in there that we should clean our glasses for?
Nothing that really jumped out at me. I think Empire House might be okay, but nothing like that's race six on Saturday. You know, there's nothing there that's that I think is superstar debut potential like you may be in store for on Sunday.
I will. I do see. I'm just going to mention the Drysdale Firster. Mamie Van D, just, you know, $750,000 yearling. Curlin out of Over and a Beauty, Len Riggio, My Meadowview Farm. And that's a nice female family. And that was a lot of money to pay for that yearling. So. See what Neil.
Yeah, Neil, not exactly known for cracking first time out. So
no,
I don't know that. You know, she might be fine, but she might be more of a work in progress. I think of, you know, Empire House to me is kind of intriguing. 10-1 on the morning line, and $500,000 yearling purchase for Tommy Town Thoroughbreds. And you know, Jonathan Wong had this horse in Northern California, but he brought it down to Santa Anita. You know, pre. You know, the calamity that's going on up there. You know, she's been down here for a month, you know, 3 weeks anyway, and has put in a series of good works. And I think she's an intriguing horse first time out.
You know, I also, the name, looking at Peachtree Road, for Peter Blum, the homebred, Tortuga Lady, that's a nice family. This is a quality road filly, and
she just ran fair. I thought first time
in
out.
The debut.
I mean, she's had time, so you know she certainly is capable of being better. And obviously, by quality road, you'd expect her to improve. But you know, that race has not really held up. That main race. I mean, obviously, Princess Noor went on to win a couple of Grade Ones coming out of that. But you know, the horses behind her, you know, those races just have been low rated kind of fig races, and I need to see more before I buy in.
Fair enough. And the reason Tortuga Lady catches my eye, she's the dam of Princess Arabella, who I'm sure you remember. She herself actually has had some productive offspring, including Uleli and Mohawk. Neil Howard.
I remember Mohawk was supposed to be like the next big deal.
Right? Absolutely. Well, Jay, and on that topic, I see you were watching some replays. You caught up on your Road to the Derby analyses.
Well, they're in there. We just haven't really. We wanted to wait till after the Breeders' Cup because everybody was focused on the Breeders' Cup races, and you know, look, it's the Derby is still months away, so we're going to do like a big online splash with that, you know, maybe coming out of this weekend. But it was just everybody was focused on the Breeders' Cup. We didn't need to start saying, "Hey, it's Derby watch time." You know, they ran the Iroquois, so we decided to just sort of wait and start our point. I mean, it's on there. I mean, people can look up the what I thought of those races, but you'll start seeing it promoted a little more aggressively sometime next week. We wanted to get through the Breeders' Cup first.
Well, Jay, we'll start to look toward the Turf Festival at Del Mar, the end of the Del Mar meet, the highlights, talk after Thanksgiving. What's your Thanksgiving itinerary, you and Ann?
Just go to the track and come home and have a nice dinner. That's just very, very low key. They'll be at the track all this weekend, and then obviously next week, the stakes racing Thursday, Fridays, and then Saturday and Sunday. You've got the Hollywood Derby and the Matriarch, and they're both shaping up as outstanding races. I'm going to have a full notebook item on that on DRF.com a little later today, but you know, here are a few highlights. You know, Sharing is supposed to come out here for Grand Motion for the Matriarch. Chad Brown's supposed to send as many as three for that race, including Blowout and Viadera and possibly even Newspaper of Record. And then the Derby's coming up, a sensational race. Clement's going to send Decorated Invader and Gufo out here.
Mm.
Chad Brown is going to send Domestic Spending out here. Pixelate's supposed to come back out for Stidham. And then you've got all the locals, like Smooth Like Straight. Storm the Court's going to get back on the grass. And he ran a really good second in the La Jolla in his one grass race this summer. So those races are coming up really strong. So it should be some really good racing that last weekend. And Rosario and Iran Ortiz and Manny Franco are all supposed to be here next weekend. So it should be pretty strong, pretty strong racing. And I'm wondering if some horses that were going to run at Churchill next week on those grass races that have been abandoned now might end up coming out here too.
That's a good point. We'll keep an eye out for that early next week. The red carpet on Thanksgiving Day, and then the Hollywood Turf Cup on Friday, and then into the weekend, the Hollywood Derby, the Durante, and the Seabiscuit on Saturday, and the Cecil B. DeMille and the Matriarch on Sunday, November 29th. Plenty to look forward to. Jay, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk next Friday.
Sounds good. Have a good holiday, Steve. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Jay Pribman, everybody. DRF Pribman on your Twitter machine. I didn't run down everything with James or with Marty, but, those that are keeping tabs, in addition, obviously, to that Del Mar action, you know, the Churchill, the, you know, the Goldenrod and the Jockey Club, for the 2 year olds, and the, River City and the Clark on Friday, you know, next Friday. All right. So, and the Cardinal and the Falls City will be on Thanksgiving. So those we'll look at, Monday. We'll get that kind of work in on Monday, Tuesday, and we'll be off. Although, Case, what do you want to do? You want to just Wednesday, Thursday, or do you want to do? You want to take Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? I mean, we have not taken any days since the beginning of the year, actually. So I sort of was. What do you think?
I'm good with either. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, we may let we might we'll see. All right, let me we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it post. And your birthday's on Thanksgiving this year, right?
Correct.
Nice. All right. I guess mine is too far out to be able to have birthday cake and pie. So. When it's 6 days apart, I can't claim the birthday Thanksgiving combo. I never get closer than 2 days away. The 22nd is as early as you get Thanksgiving. So anyway, we'll be off a couple of days next week, as we always do, and we'll try to entertain you with some best of activity. Do you want to break here? Yeah, all right. Let's take the break here. Our breaks are a little bit out of whack, and we'll come back. Hammer's going to join us. Then a visit with Nick Tamaro. We'll look at New York and looking to see if we heard back from Ron. Yeah, Ron Gierking can. Join us. So we will get some more details about the situation at Woodbine, as well as look at their card. It would be tough if somehow they ended up having to pull up as early as, you know, today, because tomorrow, the 8th, 9th, and 10th, the Ontario Derby, the Grade 3, the Kennedy Road, the Grade 2, and the Grade 2 Bessarabian. As well as the Ontario Damsel. They didn't get big fields, but they got some very nice horses, including Pink Lloyd in the Kennedy Road. You got the likes of Amalfi Coast in the Bessarabian and Painting, Hill and Dale. And in fact, speaking of Hill and Dale, Curlin's Voyage is in the Damsel. Mervilio for the Old Wellings. And Kevin Attard in the Damsel as well. And we should mention, I haven't mentioned it yet, Mark Cassie yesterday at Calder. Win number 3,000 in Mark's career. Congratulations. And it came with Mrs. Weber, which is very cool. I'm sure he appreciates it, and I'm sure Charlotte appreciates being the purveyor of Cassie's 3,000th win. Quick timeout. We'll come back, check in with a visit with Hammer, and got a couple of racing office kinds of topics for Hammer to field. Back after this at the Races Weekend Preview, Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's at the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Don't miss a second of thrilling live racing from Aqueduct this fall on America's Day at the Races on Fox Sports. Watch Maggie Wolfendale, Andy Serling, and the entire all-star cast bring you the best of fall racing live from Aqueduct. For full TV listings, visit NYRA.com.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine,
Unlock, and Bleeder Shield. Now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced, scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.